Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
So, Father God, we thank you for the amazing Jesus, the amazing Yeshua, who was our great once-for-all-time sacrifice. No blood of bulls and goats could ever do what his blood was able to do once for all time. Thank you for what you did. I ask you now for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come in this room and by revelation open our understanding. Give us revelation and that aha moment that, oh, now I get it. Because you're the only one that can do it. Our head knowledge can't do it, but you can do it. And that's what I'm asking for every one of us, in Jesus' name. So I want to talk something about the presence that abides, or we could say the presence that abides in you. It never leaves you. It never forsakes you. And because we sometimes feel it and we sometimes don't, I think a lot of people came up with this doctrine that, well, you praise your way. You know, if you praise enough, God comes. But I actually believe, after years of doing it, I actually believe his presence is with us all the time. It never leaves, never. It's us that moves in and out. And if we can master the skill of moving in and staying in, you know, I did a secular job for 39 years, and of course there were times when I had to do very complicated equations and formulas. You got to use your mind, so you had to some extent pull out to do that and maintain a semblance of normalcy, you know, at least appear to be, hallelujah. But you could still keep there's an open relationship with the Father. Heaven has never closed. People who say, oh Lord, rend the heavens, God bless them, but he already did. And God is trying to give us an understanding and a faith and a knowledge that it has been opened since he opened it. Now that was a valid prayer in the Old Covenant, because at that time Jesus had not yet come. He had not yet released the Comforter. Remember that when the Holy Spirit came, he came as a violent rushing wind. There was a noise of a violent rushing wind. You know why? Heaven was tearing open. And the noise was so great that people came from all over town to see, what is this? What's going on? What is that noise? And it filled them. It filled them with the power of the Spirit. And for me, I got saved at 15. I'm cracking 65 here, hallelujah. They're sending me, by the way, you know, when you turn 64 and a half, all this stuff starts to come about Medicare. Your mailbox is just full. Really? Really? Hallelujah. Just put that aside for a minute. But what happened to me, even though I was saved many decades, I for years did not understand what I want to share today. And I think this is true, that so many people in the body don't really understand what happened when we were born again. For years, I didn't understand what really happened when I knew I met Jesus. Woo! And I knew him personally. We had a close relationship. But I didn't understand what he had done in me, in my physical body, in my spirit. And because I didn't, I was failing at the technique of doing life in the earth. Because there was a lack of understanding, lack of knowledge. And so God had to kind of teach me about it. And it has changed my entire life. And if you can get a hold of what God has done in you and who you really are, if you're born again, I'm believing that everyone in here is born again. If you're not, come and talk to me at the end. But, you know, we'll that's real easy and we'll take care of that. But once you're born again, something has happened. There's been an enormous transaction in heaven concerning you. Concerning your name. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we say that, and that's awesome. But what we don't know is all that that means. Okay, all of heaven just got transferred to your account. Every promise is yours. Legally is yours. And you say, well, where's the stuff? Well, it's in heaven. Now, that's a different message I'm not preaching. But we have to come to understand what happened when we got saved. And what happened causes us to understand who we are, who he is in us, who we are in him, and that spiritual tie, there's a spirit connection that can never be broken so long as we don't choose willfully to break and say, I don't want you anymore. So if you haven't done that, it doesn't matter how bad you've screwed up, there is a divine connection from heaven to earth in you that goes straight to the throne that can never be broken. You say, well, I don't feel it. Well, I'm going to explain why. But it has never broken, can never be broken, can't be, right? Because it's something Jesus purchased. You didn't purchase it and couldn't have. But because he purchased it, it is forever. This is amazing. So let me talk to you for a minute about this. See, in the Old Testament, they didn't have it because it had not yet been purchased. They looked forward to it. Listen to this, 1 Peter 10 through 12. I'm just going to give you the cliff notes here. Concerning this salvation, remember he called it so great a salvation, right? He didn't want us to neglect so great a salvation. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about this grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. Then I dropped down to 12. It said it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you. They were talking to you. They were prophesying not to each other, not even to the present king. Yes, they did that, but what they wrote, what Isaiah wrote, what Jeremiah wrote, what Daniel wrote, they were prophesying to us something that we would have that they didn't have. Because it's a new and better covenant based on new and better promises. It says they longed to look into it. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you. And then if you drop down a little further, it says things into which the angels longed to look. The angels are like, man, how does that work? See, God didn't do it for them. The angels are servants of God. But they didn't get born again. They don't house God. Right? Come on. What is man that you are mindful of him? You know what it really says? You have made him a little lower than Elohim. Read what it says behind the scenes. A lot of the translations say a little lower than the angel, but it says a little lower than Elohim. It says you put him in authority over all the works of your hands. Come on. Everything in this room is subject to your command. All matter, I thought this was tonight's sermon, but all matter, all physical matter, you know what matter, remember science? You know what matter is? It's any substance that has density, anything that has water, the water in your room, the faucet, those flags, your shoe, is subject to you. The Bible says so. I have many, many things out there that prove it. It says the angels long to look into this thing you have. In Matthew 13, Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it. They long to hear what you hear, but they did not hear it. Luke 10:24 says the kings longed to see it. So think about it. All the old covenant, they didn't really even understand it. And the truth is, most of us don't understand it. And I see fractions. I'm not going to tell you I have the whole thing because I'm still pressing in. I'm still learning. I learn more every day about this from my father. But I'm telling you, if you're going to get something, get this. Because if you get this, you will no longer question who you are in the world, why you're here, what you're here to do, how to do it. Because when you get this, you will not only have the understanding of who you are and what you have, but how to make it work in the earth. How to have victory in every area of your life. This is the key. This is the key to all healing. This is the key to all victory. This is the key to all ministry. All of ministry should be done this way. And the reason ministries fail, you could take a guy that's greatly called and has a wonderful anointing, and God tells him to go and do something, and he goes and does it, and it fails. And you know what he thinks? Wait a minute. I thought you told me to do that. Yes, but you weren't doing it using my process. You went and did it in the flesh. And the flesh profits nothing. That's right. You know the scriptures. It is the spirit that makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. So Jesus purchased something for us. Jeremiah talked about it. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will bring about a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers. So Jeremiah, this is Old Testament. For this covenant which I will make with the house of Israel, God bless Israel. God bless. They are our parents. Did you know that? Abraham is my dad. I was grafted in. It says, if you be Christ, you are Abraham's seed. Hallelujah. So the blessings of Abraham come on me, even though I was just a Gentile. I wasn't anybody. Right? Thank God. Thank God. So, he says, not like the covenant I made with their fathers. Not like that. For this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not teach each one his fellow citizen and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. Now think of that, from the least to the greatest. When he says, I'll write it in your heart, he's talking about he will fill you. When you were born again, this transaction happened, a legal, and by legal, I don't mean legalistic. I mean in heaven, there are laws just like there's natural laws in the earth. Heaven's laws cannot be broken. Heaven's laws override earth's laws. That's why a person, you know, a dead person cannot get up according to natural law. It cannot happen. But if heaven rules it, they get up. And all the corruption, remember, Lazarus was corrupt. 4 days, P.U. You know, let's not go into what that looked like, right? And yet in one word from Jesus Christ, whew, why? How was he doing it? How did a guy born blind who'd been born all the days of his life for decades have an encounter with Jesus and Jesus heals him? How does that happen? Because Jesus knew how to invoke the law of heaven in the earth. You see? But here's what amazes me. He actually gave us that, but our problem is we haven't understood it, and because we haven't understood it, we haven't been able to walk in it too well. We're like little children. We're trying to find him, right? And a lot of us are still trying to find, you know, comfort and solace and healing, and that's okay. But if you get this, you have all that. So from the least to the greatest, he is saying every person that will ever be born again. So don't say, well, I'm the least, I'm the worst, I'm the lowest. Oh, those guys, they're great. No, I used to think that way. Charles and Francis Hunter came to town, and they were moving in power and healing, and they preached that that the healing was for everyone to operate in. They proved it scripturally. And I sat there, young and stupid, nodding my head, saying, amen, amen. But deep down, you know what I was thinking? Well, that's great for you. You're called and chosen, anointed and appointed. You've got the stuff, you know. But I thought, there's the haves and here's the have-nots. And if you think that way, it's because you haven't yet come into a revelation of the truth about who you really are. What Jesus did, he did for all. He really is. He's not kidding. He's not a respecter of persons. When he gave you your born-again spirit, it is no less than somebody else's. It's no more than somebody else's. He gave us all heaven, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is in you. Well, what does that mean, and how do I operate, and how do I find that? How do I find my way? So this, I believe, has to do with the mystery hidden from the foundation of the world. Some of you have read your scriptures. Paul talked about it in Colossians. He said, I became a mystery according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. It has been revealed, but most saints have not yet understood this mystery. And of course, we know later on he says that mystery says to them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why does it say hope? Because many people, God hopes that we will get it. God hopes, he revealed everything. Listen, what he did, he already did. He's already released it. He's released all the gifts. He's released the fullness of heaven. He's released the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He's already done it all, and he hopes we will get it. It's up to us how far we go. It's up to us. Hallelujah. How much revelation. There is no limit upon us except the limitations we have, either known or unknown, right? If you say, well, that's great for you, but not for me, you'll never get it. If you say, you're worthy, I'm not, you won't get it, right? So we have to work on dealing with our stuff. And you have to believe when he says you have this in you, that you do have it in you. You may say, I don't feel it. Who cares what you feel? Do your feelings rule the universe? No, he does. His word does. So tell your feelings to shut up. They don't get to have a choice in this matter. God has called you holy. You say, I don't feel holy. I don't care what you feel. And he doesn't either, by the way, and you shouldn't either. If you wake up and you feel like a schlag, you know what? Ask God what he thinks. He'll shock you. Sometimes he'll shock you with his kindness. See, he's not looking at that. You know why? He's looking at your born-again spirit, not your outward schlockiness. Thank God. So Christ in you, the hope of glory, you received a born-again spirit. And in the book of Acts, it talks about a second encounter. And it's clearly spelled out in a couple places, but Acts 19 is one where there were believers, they already believed, they were born again, they knew about Jesus, they'd been baptized in the name of Jesus. And the apostles said to them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? So it's a second thing. And they said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. And then they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now what just happened? When you received your born again spirit, are you saved? Absolutely. If you never get the Holy Ghost, you're still saved, and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit as the deposit of your inheritance, saying you are saved. Not getting out of it, going to heaven. Okay? But when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, something happens that opens that connection more. To me, the Holy Spirit is my communication link with the throne. And because he is in me, he is always with me. Every day he's with me, every night he's with me, whether I feel him or not. He doesn't come and go. Once you're filled with the Spirit, he ain't leaving. Right? Now, we think that because a lot of us, when we got saved, we read the Old Testament first, so we still see God as mad. Now, listen, God hasn't changed, and he's not, what's that word? Where you have multiple split personalities. Bipolar. Yeah, he's not bipolar. That's good. He always had this plan, and the law was given as a gift to keep, you know, to keep us, to help us. It was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to make us say, man, we need, hallelujah, we need a Savior, right? But, you know, when I read the Old Testament, and I still read it, and I adore it, I love it because there's still life in it. However, I misunderstood God, and I began to judge myself, not understanding what he had done. Okay, I began to judge myself, and he had to get after me because I didn't understand. So, I believe that this presence that is in you, it is always there, it is always abiding. It never leaves, it never lifts. However, for me to find that, first of all, you don't find it through knowledge, through carnal knowledge or earthly intellectual knowledge. There's people that study their whole lives and they're awesome and they know a lot of stuff, but that doesn't open the gateway, because now what is your gateway to heaven? It's, what does the Bible say? It says, his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. What's happening? He's always before the throne. The Holy Ghost is communicating with heaven for you continually. And so what happens? We get distracted. And let's not even say sin. We're just distracted. We get super busy, right? And we're paying attention to stuff. And, oh, this has to be done. Oh, this has to be done. Oh, I got to do this before I go to bed. Oh, man, I got to get ready for that thing tomorrow. Now, that's not necessarily sin, but we're not paying attention, right? That can go on. If you get stuck in that cycle, that can start to own you. And what happens is you start to feel far from God. You start to feel like you've lost your edge. You start to eventually feel a little backslid. Now your spirit is still in communion with him, but you start to feel bad. And you know, I know for me, if I don't stay pretty close to him, it doesn't take long for me to start feeling like, you know, I don't feel right. I got to be close to my Father. If I'm not, I feel like I've lost my edge. Does he love me less? No. But do I need to deal with that? Yes. So I'll just tell you a secret. I wasn't going to talk about this. One secret is to rearrange your life so that you don't have so many things that beckon you all the time. I used to be busy. Like, I didn't even get 8 hours of sleep because I was so busy. And it's all for the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. I lived at the church. I was on every helps committee. And that's fun at first. You know, it's fun to feel, you know, like you're being used and recognized. But I'm telling you something. I did it too much for too many years, and I grew to the point where I just felt like, you know what it felt like? That the church was first and God was last. Now, I was still close to him, but it was by the grace because my prayer time was in the car. You know, and some of you are living this way, and I'm not condemning you, but I'm saying what happened to me is God, he warned me. He said, stop it. He said, you better get out of something. And I was deceived. So I said, well, I thought you told me to do all this. You know, I thought that you told me to do the choir. I thought you told me to, but there were some things I think I might have added in there. He said, you better get out of some things. Because no matter what you're doing for him, if it's stopping you from being with him, there's trouble. So what happened was, I physically, I physically had a problem that I could not do it anymore. Now, he didn't do that to me, but I had opened the door to the enemy. Excuse me. I was flat on my back for a couple of months. You know, when you're flat on your back for a couple of months, you get to think about things. Guess I should have gotten out of some of those things. And when I went back to church, lo and behold, all those people who said, no, we don't know how to do that, all were doing it. All those people who would not help, so, oh, they won't do it, so I'll do it. Or here, do you have this problem? If I don't do it, it's not going to get done right. If they do it, they'll screw it up. I might as well just do it. Come on, who's got that problem? So you end up doing everything. Oh, yeah, that was me. Because, you know, if I'm going to tell you something. If you're gifted and you have that problem, you'll just always pick it up, everybody. And I'm going to tell you something. People know it. They'll drop it on the floor so you'll pick it up. I'm telling the truth. In the church, they'll drop it on the floor because, well, Holly will do it. And God had to teach me, don't you dare pick that up. Don't you dare pick that up. And so what he did was he said, now, when we finally came out of this, he said, now you're going to say no to everything and everybody unless I tell you yes. Boy, was that, if that's hard if you have a man-pleasing spirit. Because you want to help everybody. You want them to like you and you want to do everything for them. It's a crime. It is. Because it robs you of God. And it robs him. God created you first and foremost for fellowship. Not the stuff you do for him. Right? You can raise up rocks to do that. But one thing, no one can replace you in the prayer closet. No one can replace you in relationship. If you're a parent and you have one kid that goes missing, your heart is with that kid. You talk about nothing else. You pray about nothing. You tell everybody at church, oh, pray for my kid. Don't you think you got that from God? How do you think he feels? Has he ever said to you, I miss you? I miss you. Oh, God created us for fellowship primarily, not for the works. The works come out of that. Works come out of relationship. That was not my message. So what I want you to understand, and not just say, you know, oh, amen, okay. I want you to really see this, that God himself has set up camp in your mortal body. If you're born again, you are the house of God. And you're carrying in you the vast treasure of heaven. And it is, we might say, on tap, but we haven't learned how to tap it. So in you, listen to me, think about this. The Holy Spirit, if he lives in you, he is all the gifts, all the fruits, the love of God. He is Jesus Christ in spirit form. That's who he is. He is Jesus Christ in spirit form. Jesus breathed on them. Said, receive the Holy Spirit. Remember when he said, talking to his disciples, he was talking about the comforter that would come. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. Now he spoke in code. He said, he is with you. Right here. He didn't say it, but he might as well have said, I'm right here, boys. The Spirit of God is with you, but he will be in you. Because this body is going to get crucified. It's going to ascend. I'm going to sprinkle the blood, and there's going to be an explosion in heaven that releases all the gifts, all the fruits, all the promises to those that will receive. Yeah, that's what happened. And so he went to heaven. He released, because if he hadn't done it, all we would have had Jesus and the love of him, but now we have Jesus living on the inside. So we're never alone. I don't understand loneliness because I'm never alone and you aren't either. And if you're still lonely, I'm telling you, you're never alone. And it's because he wants to develop a relationship with you where you can have a relationship that's open, 24/7. You say, I don't hear from God. You will. There have been people that have come into our ministry that have told me flat out, I don't hear from God. They really believe they didn't have that gift. I said, you just hide and watch. You just stick with it. Some of you remember some of our friends. One lady came. She, you know who I'm talking about. She called herself a hard-headed Norwegian. And she just was made in such a way that she didn't know how to encounter. Today, she hears as well as anybody I've ever met with accuracy. Why? Because she learned the process I don't care who you are. It says from the greatest to the least. Maybe it says the least to the greatest. So every person has access. So what's the deal? Why don't I hear him? Well, it's because you're listening in an earthly way. Because what do we know? We were born in an earthly body. Our parents taught us through these earthly ears. They taught us with this earthly brain. We learned to speak with this. That's all we know, right? And so suddenly we get born again. We don't suddenly know heaven, do we? I wish we did, but we don't. So we have to be changed. We have to be transformed. We have to have some kind of revelation from God to come to understand. So he gave us the scriptures. This is amazing to me. He gave us the scriptures. Okay, I know you don't get it, right? Because you were born in the likeness of Adam. And here's the problem with that. Adam had it all. Adam was made in the image of God. Before the fall, he had everything. He had the mind of God. Think how smart. He had dominion over the entire planet. God said so, Genesis 1. But when he fell, not only did he screw up his own nature, right? Remember, it says whose servants you are to obey, you know, his servants you become. So when he yielded to the devil, he took on the devil's nature. And what's the devil's nature? Me, 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 me. It's all about me. It's all about me. That's his nature. But worse than that, he lost his capability to use the fullness of his mind. But worse than that, he lost communion and relationship with God and went into shame. Shame is of the devil, right? Hiding from God, right? God already knew what had happened. God walked with him in the cool of the day. But one of the things God told me about this is that there was a break, so that now the problem was our understanding was so darkened that even if God told us the truth, we just still went, huh? We could no longer perceive spiritual matters. So that's the problem. When Jesus went to the cross, it was to redeem that which was lost. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Yes, that means souls, but it also means everything. Everything. Everything that was lost and stolen in the garden. To restore you to garden state. Well, he couldn't redeem. I've thought a lot about this. He couldn't redeem our earthly physical body. You know, we'd already dabbled in sin. So, so he had to make us new. We dabbled in flesh. We dabbled in wrong ideas, right? We stank. And if you were like me, you really stank, right? Fleshy, carnal. Thought all wrong, believed all kinds of garbage, had a wrong identity. So what he did was he said, okay, I can't just recreate their body legally, but I can recreate who they are in the spirit, in the perfection of God as Adam was before the fall. So I can do that, but I have to put it in their mortal body, which stinketh. How do we know it stinketh? Because Paul said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. If you're still trusting in your gifts and your capabilities and your smart mind, you will never accomplish. Some of you are very gifted, right? In the earth, some of us were born with certain abilities. But as long as that's the limit of your operation, you'll never do heavenly things in the earth. Because they only work this way. Because heavenly things come from the throne by the Holy Spirit into your born-again spirit and released out of your mouth, your eyes, or your hand. So, you're called to release heaven into earth, but if you don't know how to cooperate with heaven inside you, you know, if you don't know the process, you're going to still be trying to hear with these ears and going, I just don't hear. I just don't hear. Well, no, maybe you don't, but if you learn the process, and it takes time, and I'm just going to tell you, that's the good news. The bad news is no person can teach you this. No mortal, I will say. No great teacher. We can point the way. And we can ask God for a spirit of revelation to attend you. But how you get this is by hanging out with God. See, I was saved, I think. Well, I was saved in the 70s and got really serious in the 80s. And I didn't know any Christians. I think I knew one. I hadn't seen her in years. And I actually I didn't know that there were great churches out there. I thought that the churches were like the one that I had been to when I was little, and I knew when I was little, I knew, I don't know God, but I know they don't know God. So I really thought the churches didn't know him. And when I met him, I'm like, I'm going after him. So I didn't go to church. So I had a Bible, I had a big chair, and I would sit with God. And just like a little kid, I would say, well, what does that mean? How does that work? And God, here's what I found out. He would answer, not in a voice at first. Now I do hear him, but at the time I didn't hear him. But he would find scriptures to teach me, usually within 12 to 24 hours. And it would be so shocking, I just asked him that. There it is. So if you're not hearing from him yet, get your face in the Word of God, because he'll speak to you through the Word. It is alive. It's alive. Sometimes he would speak to me through a person. One time he talked to me, I was asking him about revival, and a guy at work, a rank guy at work said, soon we'll all be on our knees repenting in sackcloth and ashes. Thinking of Balaam's donkey right here. Dude. If you ask God, like, be like a child, ask. If you don't understand, ask. And when he answers you, it's going to raise more questions. Well, then wait a minute, God. So a conversation with God, for me, at that time, might take 30, 40 days. Because I would ask something, I'd say, well, okay, but now, Father, what about this? And it might take a day or two, and here would come the answer. So we would have this conversation until I finally said, okay, I think I get it. And then I would ask about something else. That's a relationship. And if you have a dad, some of you didn't have a good dad, or somebody didn't have a dad that you knew. But God wants you to know, you're his apprentice. And when I was a little girl, my dad would sometimes let me come out into the garage. He was always building stuff and making stuff, and he was very creative and innovative. And he would teach me how to use the jigsaw, or teach me how to measure. You know, little kid. And that's exactly how our Father is. And he comes to our level. He doesn't expect us to know more than we know. He knows. He remembers our frame that we are dust. He gets it. But he loves teaching us simple things, simple, profound truths that will change our life. And so what he wants to do is develop this daily relationship. And if you're performance-oriented, you say, okay, so from 7 to 8, I'm going to read my Bible. And from 8 to 9, I'm going to pray in tongues. And from 9 to 10, I'm going to sit with him and ask my questions. Well, it's like if you have a best friend, it doesn't work that way, right? You're just always, well, hey, what about this? What do you think of this? Oh, okay. Well, what do you think of that? You're hanging out together. And God wants that closeness. That's what he wants from you more than any other thing, is your heart and your fellowship and your relationship. More than any other great work that you'll ever do, that is more important to him. He told me once, I have a passion to be used of God and to help people and to see them grow and change. That's a passion he gave me. But he said, if I had to pick between all of that, he said, look forward and think of how many years you might be alive and how many people might be changed. He said, if I had to pick between that, if I had to choose, he said, I don't want to choose because I want both. But he said, if I had to pick between that and spending time with you, I would pick spending time with you. And he said, out of that will come all of that. And if you don't have that, you won't do that very well. Get it? Fellowship and relationship is the most important thing, and that's how you learn. And so you have to have faith that God loves you. Because if you think he's mad at you, it's going to be hard to fellowship with somebody if you think they're mad. I promise you, God is not mad at you. He adores you. Those of you parents who have a kid that's gone amok, do you love him any less? Some of you have kids that are hooked on drugs or have gone down the wrong way. Do you love him any less? No, if anything, your heart goes out to him more. All the more. Because you know that they just aren't in their right mind right now, but you're believing God that they will be. Do you think God is any less loving than that? He loves you. I don't care what you did. I don't care how long you did it. I don't care how far away you went. People think the story of the prodigal son is only for the unsaved. I promise you it's for the saved. No matter how many times you went, no matter how bad you smell like pig poop, the minute you come back, he never asks, where were you? Really, you blew all that money on sex, drugs, and rock and roll? Really? Never asks. He says, oh, my son's home. And he runs to meet him and he kisses him and he throws the party because he loves you so much. He doesn't care. All he cares is that you came back home. That's all he cares. You say, what if I did it 1,000 times? Then 1,000 times you're going to get a party. 1,000 times. He knows our frame. He knows what we're operating with. He knows the world system, and he knows that in our flesh we're pretty broken vessels in terms of, he saw, he was there, he saw it at the fall. It was cataclysmic. The foundations of the earth are out of course, the Bible says. The whole world lies in darkness. That happened in Eden, and he watched. He watched. He gets the struggles we have. More than that, he came here and lived, and he says that he was tempted in all ways like as we are, yet without sin. He experienced all that. He experienced rejection. He experienced being scorned, mocked, abused, beat up, disrespected by the leaders. Come on, he experienced it all. It's not a shock to him. So I brought a little thing that maybe will be a little picture. So we have a person here that's kind of a mess, and all the OCD people are like, why did they leave? For a reason. It's by a very messy demo. So here we have a person that's kind of a mess. They were born, you know, they're a mess, and they took on, you know, abuse and trouble and crud, and people said mean things, and so they have wounds and hurts and scars, and they have a mind, and they said, well, I'm going to study really hard because that'll fix it, you know. They got all that. And they say one day, Lord, I am a mess. I need help. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Would you come into my heart, forgive me my sins, be Lord of my life? And from heaven, shoo, comes this born-again spirit. They are recreated, and it's in there. But did this go? Not so much. But it's in there. So what happens is, as you work in relationship with him, and as you go to him and say, God, change me, don't ever be afraid to change. In fact, I go after being changed. I always will, as long as I live. Because you know what? I ain't there yet. If I don't look, if I get up every morning and I don't look in the mirror and see Jesus Christ looking back at me, in manifestation, I'm talking about, then I still need to change, don't I? If I still have an attitude, if I still am a little gritsy because somebody was snotty, hallelujah, we don't have any of that in the church, then I need to change. Because the problem isn't them, it's me. If I don't react like Jesus Christ, I got to deal with that. And so what I learned is, whenever you take something out, you write to honor God, you get a little deliverance, you get a little correction, you repent of an attitude. There were some awesome things spoken this morning that we could repent of. Trusting God, huge, right? Self-centeredness. Now, those words weren't spoken, but one of the biggest crimes we have, all of us, is that we're self-centered. It's all about me, minister to me, it's about me. And we think that way, and we, you know, we don't realize that it's the very thing cutting off the blessing. It's the very thing cutting off. You know, getting everybody to do your thing, getting everybody to work for you, getting everybody to, you know, manipulate. There's so much manipulation. I did not mean to say this. There's so much manipulation in the body of Christ. And we need to make a commitment to God. I will not manipulate to get what I want, and I will not be manipulated. We see manipulation all the time. People want something so they act, you know, oh, poor me. Or they, you know, we've seen it in the pulpit, we've seen it in the pew. That whole issue with giving, I love the church, don't get me wrong. I have some of my best friends are pastors, and I respect them and I love them, and I love the church. But what happened is sometimes people wouldn't give appropriately, so then people in leadership had to resort to manipulating, right? And then what happened is people said, well, they're just manipulating, so I'm not going to give. And the thing, the divide grew bad, so that the whole thing was out of course, right? I'm just giving you a rough example. So forgive me if that was, you know, I didn't mean to offend anybody. I'm just telling you, we've seen a lot of manipulation in every area of the church, right? To get others to do what we think they should do. How about manipulation in marriage? I know a minister, and he said they have this wonderful marriage, and they're just amazing, like amazingly used of God. And he said, we made a decision many, many years ago that we would not use manipulation against each other. To try to get each other, we would talk openly and frankly about what our thoughts and our needs. We wouldn't manipulate. And he said it did our marriage a world of good, because now we can just we're best friends, because that's what marriage really is to be, right? And so I'm just saying, you know, like someone wants their way, so they, I'm telling, and I will tell you the truth. Can I say that? It's not just women. Women can do it to men. You know, they know. But I've seen men do it too. Man did it to me recently. I'm just saying. We're not in relationship that way. Don't think that. But I'm talking about, I wanted to say, are we in the fifth grade here? Step it. Step it. So the point is, we need to make a decision. Some people try to manipulate God. Listen, God is not moved by your pity party. I tried. You have compassion? Don't you see how bad things are? When are you going to show up? Never. See, because he moves based on faith. He's like, well, when you get a hold of it, Holly, I'll get up and I'll stand up off the throne. But I ain't doing it because you're pathetic, because I already gave you everything you will ever need. And if you want to sit there and act pathetic, that is your deal. You want to stay in your pity party another 10 years? Hallelujah. I still love you. I'll always love you. I'm never going to stop loving you. But you're not going to receive by pity. You're going to receive by faith. It's a system that I laid out in my word. That's what he said to me. I have a system. I laid out my word. I'm not changing it for you. That's what he said to me. Right? And that system is faith. We may not like it. We may not like the faith crowd. We may not like all those teachings. I don't care. It's the system. And it's, you have to learn faith. And I was an intercessor, and I moved in power, and I knew that prayer got stuff done, but I found some things that wouldn't move. Some mountains wouldn't move. Why won't they move? Because it requires faith to move a mountain. So now here we have this person, and somewhere in here is this glorious treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Somewhere in here, there's a treasure, but I don't hear it, I don't see it, and I don't know how to interact with it. But as we press into relationship, we might say, oh, you know what? I think I have some attitudes, Lord. He'll say, you know what? Did you forgive your parents? Did you forgive your dad when that happened? Did you forgive that teacher? Or maybe you forgave them, but you need to break the words off. Maybe you received what they said as truth. Maybe you need to repent or believe in that lie. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking up right there. But I'm going to tell you that there are people in this room that someone that was in a leadership position told you you're less. In some words, I'm talking more than one person, so the words will vary, but some leader or teacher, maybe when you were little, like Lori said, she was tagged with a learning disability. Well, I don't care what you had in the flesh. You don't have that in the spirit. In the spirit, you have the mind of God himself. I don't care if this lady came up to me at church. She said, Holly, I'm so tired of people telling me I'm slow. She couldn't drive. She lived with her parents, and she was older than me, right? Some years ago, she was probably in her 60s, though, still living with her folks. They thought of her as slow because in the natural, she was slow. I said, well, I have good news for you. You're not slow anymore. She said, I'm not. I said, no, you are not. I took her through the scriptures, and I proved to her that she had the mind of Christ. I said, you'll be able to drive. You'll be able to hold a job. She wanted a boyfriend. I said, listen, God is able. And I took her through it, and you know what? She believed me. 6 months later, job, driving a car, not living with parents. Because she believed a simple message from the Word of God. She could have stayed limited, but God didn't want her to. God has given us all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness. So don't say, I don't have it. You do too have it. If you're born again, it belongs to you, and you have covenant ownership. So let's say that God says, well, you know, I'd really like it if you let go of that poor me victimized thing. Or whatever it is. It could be a million things, right? I had at least a million, still working on stuff, right? I think I'm doing pretty good, but let's say I bump into a little issue, or things aren't flowing smooth, or I have a misunderstanding. I go to God and say, what's that about? See, because now I can hear, and you will too. He says, you know what? You have a false belief system, or you believed a lie, or I see a little root there, Holly. Oh, okay. All the OCD people say, I can't believe she did that. Then I go back to God, and this is, for me, there's probably, we could put like 400 coats here. Now, in the meantime, I have a relationship with me, and at first, I'm hearing him through the word, because that's external. Or he'll still send people by the Spirit, thank God, maybe they'll speak something, oh, that's the answer to the question. I'm still hearing, but that's external, right? But over time, he says, listen, I want to deal with this. Okay. Oh, dear, I didn't know I had that. I want to deal with this. Oh, dear, I didn't know I had that. And what happens? We begin to break into a place where we have communion with him in a more direct way. I'm telling you, listen, I never went to a prophetic class in my life. And I was like, you got to teach me how to hear your voice. You got to teach me. So you know who taught me? He taught me. And as he taught me, then I started to know some prophetic people. But what he was doing was teaching me heaven's ways. And it got to a place where I would open my ears or say, flip the switch. I used to walk around this lake. Every night I'd go and walk around this lake. And he would talk to me for 40 minutes, because that's how long it took to walk around the lake twice, 40 minutes. People, see, in the prophetic class, they teach you to get a word, it's one sentence, you deliver it, end of word. But listen, God will talk to you 24/7 if you will learn how to sit at his feet. His conversation with Mary was more than one sentence. They were sitting there a while Martha was cooking. He wants to talk to you. He wants to explain to you the mysteries of the universe. He'll use the word to do it. And if he ever says anything weird, say, I'm sorry, but show me that in the word. And he likes when you do that, because you don't want to be tricked by the enemy, right? Because the enemy has a big mouth. Well, what you want to do, I'll tell you the greatest way not to be deceived when you're hearing from God. And that is to make sure you are wholly his and nothing comes before him. Because here's where people get deceived. They say, you tell me what I want, but what I really want is I want that guy over there. Or I want to marry that woman over there. And Satan will come along because you have an idol. Any idol is an open door to deception. But if you're sold out to Jesus and you say, listen, I'm Romans 12:1, I'm making my body a living sacrifice. Burn it up. Do whatever you want, but I want you. I don't care what it costs. Take away anything you want, but I want you and you alone. When you get that, you get all of heaven, right? You get the best one for you instead of that one you think is the best that might be a monster in disguise. Hallelujah. When you give him everything, then it's harder to be deceived. Satan can't deceive you so much, right? If you ask for a fish, he's not going to give you a scorpion, right? Because he's a heavenly father. He's good. He's a good, good father. So what happens, we have, this is actually called, I did this on purpose, this is called This Treasure in Earthen Vessels. It's three-part series. You can either get it on the table, or some people don't have CD players anymore. It's on the website free. It's not on the app. For some reason, the app, there's an issue where it won't do the series. Okay, so you can go to the website, though, and listen to it. And it's a three-part, three messages where God gave me a parable or a word picture better than this one that shows how you work through to get to this treasure. Because once you find the way, you know, when I was first learning, God would just teach me a little bit at a time. And I could sometimes enter in and sometimes not. And I remember I used to work at this huge company, massive. It was one of the gorgeous, like a campus of many buildings and just beautiful. And I would go for this walk on my lunch hour and have this long talk with God. And I would say, why can I sometimes hear you and other times I can't hear you? And he would teach me. There's reasons why things work and don't work in the realm of the spirit. So sometimes when things don't work, you know, what we've done as a body is we've made stuff up to sort of say, well, you know, like we were, you know, someone died and we think, well, I guess Jesus wanted them with him, you know. Or we make up doctrines to kind of, we really don't understand. But let me tell you what I think is better. Without rebellion or an attitude, to go and say, hey, could you help me understand what just happened here? What was that about? Did I miss something? Is there something you're trying to help me see? See, he's called your mentor. The Holy Spirit was given to lead and guide you into all truth. So we have the scriptures, but without the Holy Spirit, we'll be doing our best to understand it with our carnal mind. Made of dirt, right? And we're very limited. So here's how we know that's not a great solution. Here's how I figured this out. God caused me in 1 week to hear two great men of God who'd been, and they both said they studied nothing but the end times, right? That was their thing, the end times. The first guy said, I've been studying this for 25 years, and I'm telling you this is the way it is. He went through scriptures, and he presented his case. Now, that's not even my thing, right? But within a couple days, I see this other man, also very famous. He said, I'm telling you, I've been studying this 35 years, and I'm telling you this is the way it is. And he presented his case, and it was completely different. Okay, now what? Yeah, exactly. Who really knows the truth? Only the Holy Ghost. Right. So we need to let him be our mentor. You know why I got filled with the Spirit and believe in speaking in tongues is I had friends who said, that is absolutely not God. That passed away. We don't do that anymore. Don't do that. It's bad. I had other friends who said, man, that is the most powerful thing that ever happened to me. Oh, well, you just got to have that. And I was like, eh. Well, you know what most people do is they pick the person they like the best or trust the most. I went out in my yard, sat in my chair and said, what do you think about this? And I was very young and I really had not read the whole Bible yet. I was still working on it. Within 24 hours, here I came into the book of Acts. And you know what God showed me? It says this promise of the Father, that's the Holy Ghost. And Peter says, this promise is to you, your children, and all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. Well, that's for me. So it wasn't just for the apostles. It's for every generation, you and your children. That's every generation. I was young, but I caught that. I said, okay, then that's good. I want that. See, if we ask him, he will help us find answers. He wants to lead and guide you into all truth. We haven't even tapped. We haven't even touched. We haven't even begun to understand the depths of heaven. I don't think there's a one of us. If you search the world over and found the most spiritual person, I don't think any of us have a grain of sand of understanding of the fullness of God. He's so vast. Heaven is so vast. You know, so anybody that acts like they know, they don't know. I'm just telling you. We have a lot of hot shots in the body, and they learned one thing. You know what the Bible says about that? He says, if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. That implies the first thing you need to learn is you don't know squat. And I don't either. That we will forever spend our lives learning, seeking, changing, knocking, because he wants to give us more and more and more and more without limit or measure. You get to this level and you go, boy, howdy, this is awesome. You know, I'm seeing these things happen. I'm seeing lives change. Oh my gosh, God is using me. Yay. See, I'm just asking if I can share this because I don't want to, am I going too long? As you may know, I never know if it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, so I have to, if you start looking pooped out, I'll quit. So some of you have heard this story before, but a friend of mine took me to a creation seminar where creation scientists were teaching, and I was bored out of my mind. Just so bored. Bored. And I was like, oh, and it's like one of those eight-hour things, you know. And I'm like, it was great. I mean, the people were, it was awesome, but it's just not my thing, you know. I'm not there. And so I'm in the middle of it. And I said, Lord, teach me something. You know, I'm like, I'm a daydreamer. I'm 10 miles away. And when I said that, Lord, teach me something, the man in front, who was a great scientist, he said that what some creation scientists believe, he says, is that the flood of Noah, some scientists believe that the earth had water at its core under pressure, and that when the continents rifted, it shot up 3 miles in the air and came down as rain, and that was really the flood. Okay, I'm not saying it's true, I'm just saying that's what he said. And he said, what happened is the earth was a table of rock, a table of water, a table of rock, a table of water. And when he says that, suddenly all these things come into my head like this. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the return of the Son of Man. Okay, the great flood, right? The great revival, the great flood. I suddenly see a picture of these layers of rock and water, and about four levels deep, and there's probably like 19 or 20. But about four levels deep, I see this man, he's anointed, he's a pastor, he's wearing a suit and wingtip shoes. And he's floating on his back in this anointing. He's found his river. And he's content because he's anointed. But God said, I want you to press through every layer and keep pressing. I don't care if you have to leave the anointing you have. Keep going until you find the fountains of the great deep. Because as it was in the days of that great flood, so it'll be at the return of the Son of Man. We're believing for a real loosing of the fountains of the great deep. And we're to press into that, right? And keep pressing. Saints before us, saints that have already gone home, they were pressing their whole lives. But I actually think we're on the verge of it. I could be wrong, but I believe we're on the verge of something. And as we, you know, life on this earth, it's not worth all the stuff. A lot of people in here, you're chasing stuff. You think, if I had that, then I'd be happy. If God would do that for me, then I'd be happy. Whenever you say that, ask yourself, is that an idol to me? Because you know what? Self-centeredness, I'm going to quote a great minister. He said, self-centeredness is the source of all grief. And it really is, because the minute you say, you know what, it's really not about me. You know, you just take care of me. I'm going to go after what you want. I'm going to start to seek what you want, even if I become less. You know the way to promotion is become less. Put somebody else first. Let somebody else. If you know, there, I've had people say, oh, I can't come to your meetings anymore. I really feel like I'm supposed to go join this Bible school. I'm like, you know, I pray and I go, you know what, I really think that's the Lord. Go and be blessed. Come back and preach. You say, what if they're greater than you? Hallelujah. Right? Now, is that hard on our flesh? It could be. But you tell your flesh to shut up, because when you give somebody else, especially, you know, don't just give somebody with stinky flesh the microphone, okay? But when you're able to step back and yield to what God wants to do so that he can glorify himself, you get promoted. You know, they came to John the Baptist and they said, listen, that guy you've been talking about, he's baptizing, everybody's going to him. Oh my God, you'll lose your position. Right? He said, nobody can have anything unless it was given to them from heaven. And he talked about the bridegroom. That's the bridegroom. I'm just the best man. And I'm rejoicing because he's getting his way. And then he said, he must increase. I must decrease. Now, I'll admit there's times when your flesh goes, gee whiz. Aren't I special? And God goes, yeah, have a promotion. Because if we're always looking for his glory, I'll tell you the secret. How many conferences have you been to and you went, right? But when we do this, we step back and we say, we want every word, every song, every message to be subject, not just subject to the Holy Ghost, but birthed in and released by the Holy Spirit. So we do some things that people might go, well, I don't like the way they're doing it. Well, too bad. Because we pray for months and we ask, and we may miss it, but if there's a problem, it's because we missed it, not because he missed it. Because what we want is something where he owns the service. See, a lot of people say, Holy Ghost, have your way, and then they go ahead with what they were going to do. And he can't get a word in. I'm not condemning him. I'm just saying, before I learned how to do it, I didn't know how to do it. And I remember when God started making me preach, remember, I was terrified of people and shy, and I didn't know what I was doing. And so God put me on the platform, and he said, you know how to be led by the Spirit? Well, yeah, in my living room. But here there's 200 eyes, you know, produce, you know. And if you don't like it, we're going to tell you. And they would. I'm thinking, I can't remember how to do this. But what I learned was, if every moment of the service, I had my antenna up. You know, I would sit at the keyboard, and at first I would do my, you know, whatever. I would ask him, which songs do you want to hear? I would say, which songs do you want to hear? And he would pick them out. Yay. Well, then I would go do them, and at first when I was learning, I would say, okay, maybe he wants to go back to one. Do you want to do that? And I would try the best I could, faltering, probably missing it sometimes, but the best I could, what do you want to do? And then I got to where, okay, you want to do this song again, okay. Or, oh, you want to do this other song. But then it got to where I learned at every phrase, every note, I would say, wait a minute, I think he wants to go off into this prophetic song. And he would give me a song out of the heavens, right? There's music in heaven all the time. And if you tune in, there it is, right? And so then what happened is I learned that the whole of the service, if I would just, okay. And sometimes you'll start to say something that's a little, just the slightest little check. Oh, okay, I'm not supposed to. Why? Because someone's in the room that might stumble them. Or I share something, I think, wow, that was kind of, that was a little strong. You know why? Because someone's in the room that's been asking the question. Do you know that if half of you were not here and a bunch of other people are sitting here, do you know that the sermons would change? Because whoever's been asking, who has ever been seeking and knocking, they've placed a draw on the Holy Spirit. And whoever's standing up here, if they're led by the Spirit, doesn't matter who it is, if they're led by the Spirit, they will be saying what God is saying, and they'll be, you know, and I learned it by preaching, thinking, why in the world did I say that? Why did I share that? And somebody would come up and say, oh man, we were just in the car last night talking about this, asking God, why did that happen? And then you said it, I'm thinking, well, aren't I glad I didn't have an outline? So the point is, what God taught me is, as we learn how to do life that way, when you're young in the Lord, you might say, okay, who do I marry? What house do I live in, and what career do I have? And that's good. But as you grow to know him more and more, you know, I could never make good coffee. I'm all thumbs in the kitchen, or I'm not anymore, praise the Lord. But he helped me. I was like, I don't know why I can't make good coffee. My friend could just do it by the Spirit. Just, oh, that looks like about enough. Her coffee would be amazing. You know, didn't even measure. And I would say, Lord, you got to teach me how to make good coffee. Yeah, he did. To this day, if I put something in the oven and I go to the other end of the house and I'm working on the computer, when it's time for the thing, before it rings, I'll get up and walk to the kitchen. And while I'm on my way to the kitchen, it goes, burr, burr, burr. Because we've come into a closeness. You might say, well, that's weird. Why does he have to think? Listen, if you develop that in your kitchen, in your reading, in your studying, in your dreams, when you develop that, it just becomes what you do. You know how I learned to preach? In prayer. God said to me one day, he said, you know how when you're in prayer and I speak, you ask me and I speak to you? Uh-huh. He said, I want you to say it out loud. I said, even when we're alone? I said, yeah. And he said, and I want you to do it until it becomes as normal to you as breathing. I want you to do it so much, because what is that? What is it when you say something he just said? That's prophecy. Right? When you say something he whispered to you out loud, even if you're alone, you just spoke heaven and earth, which A, has power of its own. But he said, I want you to do it so much that it's so normal for you that if you're faced with a gang on the street or the President of the United States, you open your mouth and I talk. And at first it was very halting, you know, here and there. But over time it became where it didn't matter, you know, because I was so scared of people. I remember one of the first places I had to preach, they were really mean. Woo, they did not like us. And they didn't mind letting you know they did not like us. They didn't like healing. And my husband was a healing evangelist. They were like this, you know. Boy, that was fun to preach in because you could feel the animosity. And I walked out of there and said, I don't care if I ever do that again. I'm never, and God made me preach there for like, I don't know, 10, 11 years. It was, yeah, that was fun, but it did change. But what happened was I was so painfully shy, I went home and I said, listen, I need you to teach me how to preach, how to teach, how to prophesy. And I need to be able to do it whether it's 2 people, 200, or 2 million. And you know what? Over time, in the prayer closet, when I was just walking around, saying what he says, doing, you know, do what he does, right? You know, I promise I'm going to end soon. You're probably like, shut up. There's this Old Testament scripture, and I don't have the reference, but where the prophet tells the king, strike the ground with the arrow, right? Well, the guy does it, but he only does it 3 times. And the prophet gets irritated with him. He says, you quit too soon. If you'd have done it like 7 times, you would have defeated the army, but now you're only going to like make a dent, total paraphrase. I'm thinking, well, how was the king supposed to know that? The king had not developed his sense in the spirit. The only way you could know that is, and there are times, I'm telling you, how you learn this is pray a lot. This is how you learn it, pray a lot. You know why we know this? We pray a lot. Because the more time you spend developing your spirit man in the presence of God, the more you know it's like, there's times when you'll proclaim something and you'll feel, oh, I'm supposed to say it again, okay, done. How do you know that? Pray a lot. You develop a sensitivity to what he's doing. Because you don't want to just hit the ground 3 times with that arrow. If an army's coming, right, you want to clobber them. So you really want to be led by the Spirit. Because they call it a prophetic act. Well, what is that? It's something God has given you to do that births something into the earth from heaven. Right? This weird thing started, some of you read that, well, I guess it started in Colorado, I don't remember. But I started doing this weird thing, and it was in the Spirit. And I can only do it when the Holy Ghost does it, but it was like I just started, you know, this thing. And it has grown. And when it happens, the most strange things happen. It's like I'm standing in the presence and I'm throwing the glory. And we've had people get delivered. We've had people get healed. We've had, you know, it might look a little strange. I can't do that in my flesh, right? Because I have to be, it has to be him, right? It's no longer I, but Christ. And so, but how did that sensitivity develop is when you spend a lot of time with him, sitting at his feet and learning from him, speak what he says, something happens in you where you become, I can't describe it, but it's like you become one with him and you're able to emanate what he wants to do, right? And so God wants to use, here's the thing, God wants every person in the body to be used greatly. He wants every person, and everyone will be different. Your fingerprint is different than mine. How he will use you might be radically different. Where he will use you, doesn't matter. But he wants a people that first and foremost are his kids that he can fellowship with and pour his love on. God is love, and what he desires more than anything. You know why he created people? Because he had to have an object to love, someone to love, right? He's not content without someone to love. And he loves when that person's with him, and he can just pour his love on them. That's what he wants more than anything. He has a father's heart. And you know, sometimes his father's heart aches when he doesn't get to see you as often. Now, he sees you in the flesh. He loves you all the time. His love will never change. Even if you don't come in for 10 years, he's not going to stop loving you. But he wants you to learn how to come into that place where you can fellowship with him. The bridal chamber, the place where you're with him, dancing with him, you know, pouring your love on him. There's a scripture that says, kiss the Son. The S-O-N. Kiss the Son. Yeah, it's a romance. It's a friendship. And God wants that more than anything. But the other thing he wants is for you to really get who you are and who he is in you. And you may say, well, I don't feel. But the next time you think that or your feelings try to get the better of you, you say, you know what? The word of God says that all of heaven is living in me. He himself is living in me. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And you do, because Christ is the fulfillment of the law to those who believe. You say, I don't always walk uprightly. Well, I don't either in the flesh. Sometimes I blow it. I hate that. Sometimes I don't say everything right. And I hate that. But here's what I know. In God's eyes, I'm walking uprightly because Christ is the fulfillment of the law to me because I believe. It's amazing. So you have a treasure in that earthen vessel. I'm going to have us close our eyes. I'm going to have you say, God himself lives in me. I'm not an ordinary person. I'm not a failure. And I'm not rejected. I was ordained by God. Chosen by him. Before the foundation of the world. To shed forth his glory. To walk in him. To receive his love. To receive his love. To abound in faith. To help people by a word from the Lord. I'm still growing and developing. But he's going to bring me to a place where I'm aware that we are one. And there's no discord between us. There's no wall between us. And I can freely walk in all that he has died for me to have. I can fully receive and I can fully give by the power of the Spirit. So teach me, Lord. Teach me about the Holy Ghost. Teach me about the treasure in earthen vessels. That I might live a life that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I receive it. I receive it all. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. All right.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.